Blog Talk Radio.
The Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpen proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion. Black anarchism is a term applied to a group of people of African descent who identify with the principles of anarchism. These people include, but not limited to, Ashanti Alston, Kwasi Balogun, Lorenzo Kamboa Irving, Greg Jackson, and Martin Sostre. Critics of the term suggest that it broadly eclipses important political differences between these multivaried thinkers and incorrectly presents them as having a shared theory or movement. Black anarchism has had a major influence on the anarchist movement. Black anarchists have a 100-year history in black-led anti-fascist and anti-racist history. Regardless, the individuals to whom the label has been applied all oppose the existence of the state, the subjugation and domination of black people and other ethnic groups, and favor of non-hierarchical organization of society in general. These individuals argue for class struggle, while stressing the importance of ending racial and national oppression, opposing capitalism, patriarchy, the state, and white supremacy. Black anarchists generally reject narrow or explicit forms of anarchism that ignore issues of race and national oppression. This is the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. This is from Wikipedia.org, Lorenzo Kamboa Irving. We have a lot of people ask us about Lorenzo, and we're going to do the wiki right now. Lorenzo Kamboa Irving was born on March 30th, 1947. He is an American writer, activist, and black anarchist. He is a former member of the Black Panther Party and Concerned Citizens for Justice. He was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and has lived in Memphis, Tennessee since 2010. When Lorenzo was 12 years old, he joined the NAACP youth group and participated in the sit-in protests that helped end racial segregation in Chattanooga. He was drafted during the Vietnam War and served in the Army for 2 years, where he became an anti-war activist. In 1967, he joined the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and, a short time later, the Black Panther Party. In February 1969, Irving hijacked a plane to Cuba to evade prosecution for allegedly trying to kill a Ku Klux Klan leader. While in Cuba and then Czechoslovakia, Irving became disillusioned with state socialism. After the U.S. government was unable to obtain his extradition, Irving was turned over to the U.S. authorities by Cuba, and he was arrested upon being returned to the United States in September 1969. Irving was charged with 2 counts of airline hijacking in the U.S. District Court for the state of Georgia. A jury convicted Irving of both counts, for which presiding federal court judge Albert Henderson imposed a sentence of life imprisonment. After the jury declined to recommend the death sentence sought by the prosecutor, Irving was the first person to ever receive a life sentence for an aircraft hijacking under U.S. law. Previously, the most severe sentence imposed for the offense had been 25 years imprisonment. Irving first learned about anarchism while in prison in the late 1970s. He read numerous anarchist books, and his case was adopted by the Anarchist Black Cross, a political prisoner support organization. While in prison, Irvin authored several anarchist pamphlets, including Anarchism and the Black Revolution, which has been reprinted many times and is considered his best-known work. Eventually, Irvin's legal challenges and an international campaign led to the release from prison after 15 years. After his release, Irvin returned to Chattanooga, where he became involved in a local civil rights group called Concerned Citizens for Justice, fighting police brutality and the Klan. In 1987, Irvin helped file a class action civil rights lawsuit that resulted in the restructuring of the Chattanooga government and the election of several black city council members. On April 26, 2008, Irvin and his wife, Jonina Abron Irvin, organized a march and rally in Nashville, Tennessee, to protest the deaths of two youths in Tennessee facilities at the Chad Youth Enhancement Center and the deaths of a number of prisoners at the Nashville Detention Center, allegedly by guards at that facility. On June 12, 2012, the Irvin and other black activists held a conference called Let's Organize the Hood, and there created the Memphis Black Autonomy Federation to fight the high levels of unemployment and poverty in African-American communities, rampant police brutality, including the unjustified use of deadly force, and the mass imprisonment of blacks and other people of color by the United States government through its war on drugs, which Irvin and other activists claim are unjustly directed to black people of color communities.
Nah, give it up, me nah, give me nothing up. Me nah, give it up, me nah, give me culture up. Me nah, give him up, me nah, give Selassie up. Me nah, give it up louder, hey. Me coulda not had no money, I and I coulda broke. Me nah, cut me not the jet, we get a little walk. No, and now me face to leave a door coulda shut. People coulda tell I man fi get a year cut, but me nah give it up, me nah give me nothing up, me nah give him up, me nah give Selassie up, me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up, me nah give it up loud, oh hey. National something coulda hit my gut, skinhead coulda kick me with them steel cap foot. Hell's the angel coulda kill me with buck. Police coulda throw me in them big meat truck. But me nah give it up, me nah give me nothing up. Me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up. Me nah give it up, me nah give Selassie up. Me nah give it up louder, hey. Every Christian then coulda give me funny look. They will listen what them say, coffee me teach me not suck. Let me tell a figure looking at the holy book, where it say you must love everyone no matter how them look. So me nah give it up, me nah give me nothing up. Me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up. Me nah give him up, me nah give Selassie up. Me nah give it up louder, hey. R-A-S-T-A-F-A-I, you put them all together, it's Rastafari. The roots and the culture I and I come to supply. No matter what them said, Jah, I won't deny. It's hard in a Babylon, but me we get by. Them can't keep me down, no matter how them try. Babylonian roots to I and I don't apply. If them tell me what they do, then me we always defy. Then try tell me God is up in the sky, when I know it's on earth with iron eye. Rastaman I tell the truth, Babylon I tell lie. Me mind and me body them can't occupy. Come me nah give it up, me nah give me nothing up. Me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up. Me nah give him up, me nah give Selassie up. Me nah give it up loud, oh hey. Reagan and Grover chop the two of them a boy. Compare to Jah, the two of them a small fry. Them a make nuclear weapons to make people die. But when Jah lick them, then we ball, aye aye. See me destination a Mount Zion high. Rastafari happy wave the Babylonian bye-bye. Where me safe and ship and weather me happy fly. Cause Babylon we coming like a bono piece of pie. Cause me nah give it up, me nah give me nothing up. Me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up. Me nah give him up, me nah give Selassie up. Me nah give it up loud, oh hey. See me Christmas a 23rd of July. Me not check for Babylon Christmas and I will tell you why. There's no business about the birth of a holy little boy. It's all about money and the presents you can buy. You have to buy your picnic, them a holy party. Then them put up the price, them gone sky high. The rich man Christmas and the rich man fly. Christmas time the rich a laugh and the poor man a cry. So me nah give it up, me nah give me
Illuminati up. Me nah give it up, me nah give me culture up. Me nah give him up, me nah give Selassie up. Me nah give it up loud. Oh, hey, observe with your mind and look with your eye. See what's going on and what it imply. Everything in the Bible that you give to I. So when you find out Rasta right, just keep your eye dry. Come me, me nah give it up, me nah give me Natty up. Me nah give him up, me nah.
During July 1997, Lorenzo Comboa Irving was invited to tour Australia by local anarchist organization Angry People. The far-right organization Australians Against Further Immigration raised the issue with acting immigration minister Amanda Vanstone. The anti-immigration politician Pauline Hanson accused him of being a known terrorist and gunrunner. Prime Minister John Howard was reported as horrified to learn that Mr. Lorenzo Comboa Irving had been granted a visa and was visiting Australia. An immigration official started an urgent investigation, detaining Irving in Brisbane and canceling his visa. The visa was canceled on the grounds that he was not of good character, which Irving disputed. Irving had visited 20 countries on lecture tours since his release from prison in 1983. Irving's Australian visa had been granted through an electronic lodgement system in Los Angeles. The imprisonment of Irving was taken to the High Court Australia, where Chief Justice Sir Gerard Brennan restored Irving's visa and ordered his release from prison, saying that Irving did not appear to have been accorded natural justice, as well as chiding the government's lawyers for suggesting he had no power to hear the case. The federal government agreed to pay Irving's legal costs. Irving stated that Mr. Howard should apologize. The detain of Irving stimulated international protests that included pickets of Australian embassies and consulates in South Africa, Greece, Italy, Sweden, the UK, Ireland, New Zealand, and the United States. Immediately after his release from 4 days in prison, Irving attended NADOC celebrations in Musgrave Park, West End, as a guest of the Murray people, Indigenous Australians from Queensland, and gave a brief speech. Irving continued his speaking tour while immigration officials prepared further questions for him to answer. While traveling on his speaking tour, Irving attempted to visit Australian Black Panther Movement activist Dennis Walker in Cessnock Jail, but was denied access by police and wardens. The actions of the government were generally said to have generated attention and publicity for Irving and have resulted in many more people attending his speaking tour than would have otherwise.
Sounds like the girl's in love, but I wonder who she loves. Well, open up your ears, one, and listen to this. Bring out coffee.
Never felt this way before. I'm in love with a dreadlock.
The affair resulted in Immigration Minister Philip Ruddock cutting short an overseas trip to oversee further immigration handling of the issue. Irvin left Australia on July 24, 1997, claiming the immigration officials had threatened to deport him if he stayed any longer. Soon after, Ruddock announced an upgrade of Australia's migrant alert systems and toughened its visa screening procedures with more stringent checking of high-risk applicants. This is the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G.
No.
Give the one you love a big surprise. Yeah. Looking at them beautiful eyes.
Beautiful
and tell them, sir, you got sparkling crystal, beautiful eyes. In the ice contest, you woulda win the first prize. Sparkling crystal, beautiful eyes. In the ice contest, you woulda win the first prize. I'm telling you the truth, me never tell you no lies. One look into your eyes and I get hypnotized. Take a night alone, can me get mesmerized. One more look, can me
look into your eyes.
Your eyes and my temperature rise. Booyaka, booyaka, yes, I'm making up nice.
the big brown eyes. We love your eyes, we love your eyes, we love your eyes, and otherwise.
This is Jeffrey McKee speaking to you from the Washington State Penitentiary. I've been a prisoner of Washington State since June 2003. Today I'd like to begin a several-part discussion about the government-approved methods for prisoners to assert their rights or voice their concerns, and how the government punishes and deters prisoners for using them. First, a little history of prisoner struggles for basic human rights and dignity. I'll start with the Attica Prison Riot of 1971 in Attica, New York, to date the biggest prison uprising in American history. Prior to the uprising at Attica, the prison provided prisoners a thin coat, two work shirts, three pairs of pants, one pair of shoes, three pairs of underwear, six pairs of socks, and a cup. Prisoners were restricted to shower once a week and limited to two quarts of water a day to wash their socks and underwear, shave, brush their teeth, and clean their cells. Once a month, prisoners were issued a bar of soap and one roll of toilet paper, which meant the prisoner was forced to use one square a day. Any other hygiene item the prisoner could purchase through the prison commissary, that is, if he had the funds to do so. Prisoners earned on average 6 cents a day in their mandatory prison jobs. The prison food budget amounted to 63 cents per day per prisoner, which did not provide the minimum federal dietary guidelines and left prisoners going to bed very hungry. The prisoners were confined to their cells 15 to 24 hours a day when not working, or the half an hour to an hour a day in the yard exercising. Mail, news, reading materials were heavily censored. The prison was overcrowded, racially disproportionate. Medical and dental were almost non-existent. Prison guards routinely physically brutalized the prisoners. On September 9, 1971, the prisoners took control of sections of the prison, including a prison yard. One guard was severely injured in the takeover. The prisoners handed the injured guard over and demanded that the guard get immediate medical treatment. 38 prison staff were held hostage, mostly in the prison yard, and protected from harm by the prisoners. The prisoners drafted, voted, and agreed on 33 demands from the government. The demands included adequate food, water, and shelter, religious freedom, the end to the censorship of newspapers, magazines, and other publications, realistic and effective rehabilitation programs, including education and drug treatment. They demanded the prison hire more Black and Spanish-speaking guards, as there was a large population of prisoners who spoke little to no English. They demanded a grievance system to resolve prisoners' concerns and access to outside dentists and doctors that they, the prisoners, would pay for. On September 13, 1971, hundreds of heavily armed state troopers and correctional officers stormed the prison, indiscriminately shooting and killing 39 men, hostages, and prisoners. I encourage everyone to read Blood in the Water by Heather Ann Thompson. It's a historic account of the uprising and decades of government cover-up. The Washington State Penitentiary, where I am currently housed, is the oldest prison in the state. In the 1970s, there were several protests and uprisings. In 1974 was a particularly busy year of protests at the penitentiary. So Black prisoners went on a work and education strike over the prisons terminating a Black guard they felt was racially motivated. The guard was one of 10 Black prison staff out of the 361 prison employees. 134 prisoners went on a work strike. According to the local paper, it was over a prisoner who refused to permit a search of items he was carrying. The following month, there was 12 Mexican-Americans barricaded themselves in an office. The warden would not let local press interview any of the prisoners or other prisoner representatives. However, a spokesman for the prisoners said they were demanding administrative representation and adequate counseling. They felt discriminated against, including discrimination against Chicano employees. I used the term Chicano as that was the term used in the local paper. Soho prisoners, two armed with scissors, seized 13 prison staff and took control of the prison hospital. Two nurses were stabbed in the retaking. According to the local paper, the prisoners had issues with the hospital, classification of prisoners, segregation unit for disciplinary, recreation, education, food, and visiting privileges. The segregation unit of the penitentiary called Big Red was an overly oppressive, violent, and at times deadly place to be. Two of the prisoners who were part of the hospital takeover had been in the segregation unit for about a year when they filed a lawsuit and asked the court to consider it as a class action. According to a local newspaper report, the prison was keeping them in segregation for their own protection from other prisoners. But the prisoners had a petition signed by 500 other prisoners on their behalf. The prisoners were arguing there was no proper review in place for them to get out of the segregation. By 1978, prisoners at the penitentiary had planned a peaceful demonstration to shut down the prison industries over the violence in the prison and the headquarters' inability to manage the prison. The prisoner spokesperson said the administration was totally lacking and created a paralyzing atmosphere of apathy.
Look around. Okay, across the street, we have a delivery truck carrying food to offices, construction sites all around. Sheetrock, where'd it come from? On a truck. Nothing moves without us. Many owner-operators now are homeless. They cannot afford to have a home. This is my home. I live with my truck. Whether I stay in a hotel or I sleep sitting up in the driver's seat. This is my home. Why? I work 12 to 14 plus hours a day, but I don't earn enough.
This is Billy Randall. He's been a long-haul trucker for over 30 years. We're working on a new series now about jobs in America that used to be stable and middle class and are all but gone. One of the most dramatic shifts from good job to bad job is in the trucking industry. Trucking used to be one of the most coveted blue-collar jobs in America. The average trucker made $110,000 a year. That's enough to raise a family and have a home. Now many of them, like Billy, are barely making minimum wage.
We're tired of being the back of the economy because our backs are broken.
We're going to unpack exactly what happened through the stories of two truckers that are struggling. One who's been a driver for decades and one who's trying to make a life for himself in the industry. This is The Classroom for More Perfect Union. And today we're looking at why truckers can't make a living.
All hours work, all hours pay.
I met Billy at a rally in D.C. with the Truckers Movement for Justice. Billy's a little bit of a wild man. He's currently trying to lead strikes in the coal mines of West Virginia and the oil fields of Texas, and I think he might pull it off. Billy has a vision that truckers would be organized again after 40 years of not having power. Let's go back a little bit. This might be what you think of when you think of a trucker. An outlaw, a guy on the road with nothing to lose. But in reality, a lot of them lived pretty regular lives and went home to their families every night.
It was a hard, dirty job, but it was a good job.
The truckers I met in Washington all had the same complaints.
A breakdown, honestly, it'll put me out of business.
I don't want to lose my company. I don't want to lose my trust. I don't want to lose my home.
The pay is low. The cost of doing business is high. Let's get back to Billy. Like 350,000 other drivers in America, Billy is an owner-operator, meaning he owns his own truck. It also means he's responsible for the overhead, repairs, insurance, maintenance. And if something goes wrong, it can cost them.
Today, the truck broke down. A very minor repair, but nonetheless, it created a problem with the delivery.
I've got, not to publicize this, $1,200 to my name.
Here comes some cantankerous vibration. Do it, Professor. He's the man. Well, if you put your hand in fire, your hand will burn up. So when you do it, don't complain, just shut up. People love to blame others, that is the truth. But this one called, serve you right, your brute. It serves you right, your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. It serves you right. Hey, your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. Well, if you murder a youth and you get executed, it serves you right. Go on, your brute. If you catch a bad thing when you check a prostitute, it serves you right. Heh, your brute. If nobody won't trust your car, you won't tell the truth, it serves you right. Go on, your brute. If you inform on your brethren and you still get prosecuted, it serves you right. Heh, your brute. If you drink so much that you're as drunk as a newt and you can't stand up and you are puke and a puke and you stick on your 100-pound mohair suit, it serves you right. Heh, your brute. If you're rich and have money like Jamaica have fruit, but you're mean and you're craving and you want more loot, and one day you become poor and destitute, it serves you right. Your brute. If you're in a Satan's army, you are one of Satan's troop, and you don't want to know and don't want to listen to the truth, and you turn your back on Jah and Satan, you salute, and you follow him to hell down that dark long route, it serves you right. Go on, your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. It serves you right. Galang, 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 your brute. It serves you right. Heh, your brute. Now if you are racist to me, a man of ill repute, and you love car black man nigga coon, spear that even spook, and with racialist thoughts your whole mind is polluted, and one day you wake up and you're black like so, it serves you right. Heh, you're brute. It serves you right. Go on, you're brute. It serves you right. Galang, 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 you're brute. It serves you right. Go on, you're brute. If you think you're getting old and your face is a droop, and you think see your face and your body don't suit, and you have plastic surgery which I look like a youth, and after a month you cheap like a new boot, it serves you right. Heh, your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. It serves you right. Galang, 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 your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. Just look on them people who are take cocaine, sniffing whole heap of rubbish in on them brain, chowing and chowing and chowing and chowing their life down the drain. If I was a teacher, I'd give them the cane. Don't they know these things will drive you insane, make you chat like the hunchback of Notre Dame?
It's Esmeralda, she loves me, or is it the cocaine? I don't know, I don't care, cause I'm as high as a plane.
It serves you right, heh, your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. It serves you right. Galang, 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 your brute. It serves you right. Go on, your brute. You can go on with the badness if that is your aim, but when it go wrong, don't bother complain. Don't feel sorry and think what a shame, cause when you check it out, only you are to blame. Live a good life, play a job of your game. Learn from your mistakes, don't do them again. Think you happy, happy, don't rush like a train, cause people nowadays will say, oh, what a shame. Serve you right, your brute. It serve you right, galang, 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 your brute. It serve you right, heh, your brute. It serves your... It serves your right. Your brute. It serves your right. Go on, your brute. It serves your right. Heh, your brute. It serves your right. Go on, your brute. Thank you.
truckers like to say, if you bought it, a truck brought it. Truckers take great pride in that work, but that work can often be pretty tough for them.
This is Steve Vaselli, a former truck driver who's been studying the industry for over a decade. Steve says one of the main causes of wage decreases was deregulation. Before the 1930s, trucking was unregulated and stuck in boom and bust cycles. The economy would be strong and things would be moving in trucks. And then suddenly there would be a downturn and truckers were out of work. Trucking is so crucial to the economy that in 1935, the federal government started heavily regulating the industry by setting shipping prices and limits on how many trucks could be on the road.
The federal government essentially set the rates for trucks. If you were going to move steel from Youngstown to New York, you would go to something called the Interstate Commerce Commission, and you would say to them, hey, my costs to move this steel are $1 a mile. And the Interstate Commerce Commission would say, well, okay, then you can charge $1.06 per mile to your customers, whether it's U.S. Steel or a mom-and-pop machine shop that needs to move it.
Freight was moved from terminal to terminal, where local deliveries would combine smaller loads together and send them to the next terminal through long-haul truckers.
What that meant for drivers was a lot of them were home every night, and they had regular schedules. It also meant that those terminals were easier to unionize.
The whole industry was unionized and regulated under the National Master Freight Agreement, negotiated by the Teamsters, which was one of the most powerful unions in the United States. That all ended when Jimmy Carter signed the Motor Carrier Act of 1980 in an effort to lower prices for consumers. This was a bipartisan effort.
You probably don't think of truckers as timid people, but that's because you haven't seen how some of them react when you say competition.
Republicans, Democrats, and industry were all involved. And in a way, deregulation worked. Prices went down for consumers and rates went down for shippers. And it opened up competition so that the larger stores, think Walmart, Kmart, Costco, could haggle for lower prices. Remember that under regulation, the government set shipping prices for all stores, big and small. So deregulation brought us the world of cheap shipping that we live in now.
What that meant for truck drivers was a lot of really bad jobs.
Thousands of smaller trucking companies went out of business in the 1980s, and something else changed that made the job harder. Freight started moving point to point, from the shipper's location all the way to the customer.
For drivers, that means that, you know, they're living out of the truck. They're essentially working 24 hours a day, and they can't know exactly when they're going to be home.
And the thing is, truckers don't make overtime. That's right. Truckers are one of the few workers that are exempt from overtime in our labor laws. So a trucker can be working 100 hours a week and not make close to minimum wage. All of these changes have created a labor crisis. The turnover rate at most companies is now well over 100%. That's why every year the American Trucking Association claims there's a driver shortage.
80,000 drivers short amid the supply chain crisis.
This historic trucker shortage again.
And in less than a decade, it's projected to get even worse.
Billy is 71 years old, and the average driver is 48 years old. The industry needs younger drivers to enter the business and stay, like Caleb Fernandez. Unlike Billy, he's a company driver, and he's paid by the mile. He also uses the company's truck. While Caleb doesn't have the same expenses as Billy, he has to worry about something else, surveillance.
The biggest problem solving that I do in my day is working so that I can be legal in the regulations.
In 2017, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration introduced electronic logging devices.
So I've got 6 hours left that I can work until tomorrow.
These logs are meant to keep the drivers from working too long and to make sure they take breaks. But what it really does is mess with trucker autonomy.
It tracks my location and knows if I've been moving the truck around. So I can't lie and say that I've been driving less hours than I have been. So it lets you know on the e-log if you're doing something illegal. It'll warn you, hey, wait a minute.
What am I gonna do, what am I gonna do when I use get shot? What am I gonna do when a plastic bullet busting my top? What am I gonna do, what am I gonna do when I use get shot? What am I gonna do when a plastic bullet busting my top? We no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. We no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. It's me. What am I gonna do, what am I gonna do when I use get shot? shot. What am I gonna do when a plastic bullet busts in my top? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do when a youth get shot? What am I gonna do when a plastic bullet busts in my top? Have you seen those plastic bullets, man? Then tough like a rock. Wouldn't like that bullet single lick off me at. Anyhow, we catch your man, your must have been dropped. If they lick you in your private, you'd be talking like that. How the hell do they think that the people would react if somebody was shot and they said it was just a mess up? Because the people wouldn't really want to hear that crap. Instead of rap, one man would have fire book shot. So we no want no plastic bullet, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullet, we no need none of that. We no want no plastic bullet, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullet, we no need none of that. No job, money, discrimination and that. All these things can contribute to make a youth crack. So it is no surprise when some of them snap and then they turn to crime and then they fall into a trap. It's a bad situation, but it is a fact that the vice of the oppressed nowadays is riot. God, the people at the top don't want to listen when you chat. Between the rich and the poor man is too great a gap. So we no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. We no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We no need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. Cause some of them don't know what this is like to be black. In a this society, you're at the bottom of the pack. Cause some people treat you like you are an idiot, and other people treat you like a piece of copat. You get turned down for a job quite a lot. A lot of time policemen them step on your back. Them put we all together in a concrete block. When you go into the shop, them follow you round the shop. When a child says he wants to do O-level math, and the teacher will say no one give that child a cricket bat. I'll send him from the field to run a couple of laps, cause they know he will do better running on the racetrack. Stop the causes of the riots and the riots will stop. What we need is more black people at the top. If you're looking at the top right now, there is not talent. It's like looking for an eagle in a one-year stack. Plastic bullets not the answer, man, we all know that. Whoever suggested should have visited that. We want equality and justice for the white and black. Now I don't really think that is asking a lot. So we no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We don't need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. We no want no plastic bullets, we no want none of that. We don't need no plastic bullets, we no need none of that. It's me, what am I gonna do, what am I gonna do when I youth get shot?
Drivers start the clock and have 14 hours to work before they have to take a 10-hour rest. During that shift, they can only drive for 11 hours and take 3 hours for stops or deliveries. The problem is, they might get stuck waiting on a load, or they might break down, or they might need to take a long nap, but the clock keeps running.
A lot of shippers and receivers will be unreliable in terms of their appointment time, and so then that can ruin my hours of service. It can also ruin my next pickup or drop. That can be pretty stressful as well.
And because a lot of drivers like Caleb are paid by the mile, they want to keep moving.
It forces drivers to drive in dangerous conditions and when they're tired.
Truckers have been keeping logs for decades, but before they were paper logs. And the fact is, those were easier to fake. And look, we're not advocating for cheating. These safety regulations are really important. No one wants drivers on the road that have been working for too long or who are tired. The problem is, these e-logs are really restrictive, and drivers can't make their own schedule. The laws as they're written are really hard to follow. And besides, e-logs aren't actually making the road safer. A 2019 study showed that since the e-logs were introduced, accidents didn't go down. They stayed about the same. But something else went up. Drivers were speeding more to make up for the lost time on the road.
We've put them in this, you know, trade-off between, you know, their paycheck and safety, unfortunately.
Billy thinks that one way to encourage safe driving is to increase pay. Then drivers aren't as worried about racing for the next load and the next paycheck.
We want to be paid all hours worked, all hours paid. We're sitting loading and unloading for more than 30 minutes at a given facility. We want to be paid for it.
Billy and Caleb both love what they do and want to stay in the industry. We started this video looking at why trucking used to be a good job and why it isn't anymore. Deregulation made a lot of products cheap, really cheap, but at a serious cost to workers. Like Billy said, nothing moves in this country without truckers, and they should get paid for all the time they're working. There's a bill right now that would change the Fair Labor Standards Act and make truckers eligible for overtime. Second, safety regulations need to give drivers more flexibility. Truckers can track their time and take breaks without such strict oversight. And Billy thinks that ultimately, the job won't get any better unless drivers themselves take action.
It wasn't like this when we were organized, and we're the only ones that can change it. Owner-operators and company drivers. When we organize, then things will change.
Pledge of Allegiance by Utah Phillips. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporations for which they stand, one interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible, with monopoly and cheap labor for all.
We march in formation, lockstep, in cadence, so that their bodies don't betray their fear by jerky, hesitant motions. Head straight, on order, by order, so that the folder cannot confirm under certain eyes they make noises. Hut two, to think. Hut two. And whatever they are told, instead of possible death, and they think of dying anyway, even though they are used to thinking whatever they are told. And they think they should be honored for this, and they shall be, increasingly, with grenades, lockstep. Kwasi Balagun, December 22nd, 1946, December 13th, 1986, Black Panther, member of the BLA, New African Anarchist.
To vindicate the community's sense of fair play and decency and avoid discredit law and thereby brutalizing the temper of a society, Mr. King requests that the court dismiss the indictment, dated September 13, 2021. When the government's conduct during an investigation is sufficiently outrageous, the court will not allow the government to prosecute offenses developed through that conduct because doing so would offend the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment. The methods of physical restraint needlessly and punitive used in violation of BOP policy in the SHU at FCI Florence on August 17, 2018 violates Mr. King's bodily integrity, his right to be free from cruel and unusual punishment, and are exactly the types of methods too close to the rack and screw permit a constitutional differentiation that the Supreme Court found offensive to due process in Rokin v. California. Comparing Rokin's shocks to conscience standard to the Eighth Amendment prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment and finding that the context of prison riot response force punitively applied for the purpose of causing harm is cruel and unusual punishment. Eric King's motion to dismiss outrageous misconduct. The federal law governing use of force and application of restraints in the Bureau of Prisons can be found when authorized staff must use only the amount of force necessary to gain control of a prisoner who appears to be dangerous because the prisoner assaults another individual, destroys government property, attempts suicide or self-injury, or displays signs of imminent violence. The law distinguishes between categories of immediate use of force in response to immediate serious threat and calculated use of force application of restraints. Whenever there's time to calculate the use of force or application of restraints, staff must first determine if the situation can be resolved without resorting to force. No matter the circumstances, the principle governing use of force and application of restraints contemplates the staff will attempt to gain prisoners' voluntary cooperation and use only the amount of force necessary to gain control of an inmate. When immediate use of restraints is required, staff may temper from harming themselves and others, and restraints should remain only until the prisoner is able to regain self-control. When the FCI Florence staff secured Mr. King following the emergency call to the storage room, the response was governed by immediate use of force principles articulated above. After Mr. King was removed from the storage room and hallway area, the use of force restraints fell under the category of calculated use of force, and policy required that Mr. King be restrained only long enough for Mr. King to regain self-control.
You have some people going around saying roots music is dead. Roots music dead. I wonder if they know what am I talking about. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talking about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talking about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. Chop. Me is a DJ who travel all about. Me travel in a east, west, north and south. Everywhere me got the roots still a shock out. Alive and kicking, man, there ain't no doubt. When you say the roots dead, mind you don't choke. Me say, mind the words can't come out of your mouth. Don't you know music is like a big roundabout? And the roots music, it just did that show out. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talk about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talk about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. Chop. You check Cutty Ranks if you want hear the Bama. You check Shabba Ranks if you want hear the Rama. You check Super Cat if you want Dan Dada. Me have me one style, some call it Roots Raga. Maccabee style, some call it Roots Raga. Maccabee style, a style of Roots Raga. Maccabee style, some call it Roots Raga. Maccabee style, some call it Roots Raga. No slackness, you would ever hear me holla. Everything me talk censored by Jaja. Jaja is just like a computer planner. Me and the computer, him and the programmer. I can't just lyrics I man try to utter. Then me put it on a rhythm that I man require. It could be a dance and me catch that a fire. Or a rhythm that I would have more play by Shaka. Now take it from me, cause I am not a liar. Are the roots that a whole heap of people desire. Them respect the roots, it's a thing them admire. So they know that the roots could have never expire. Maccabee style, a style of Roots Raga. A Maccabee style, some call it Roots Raga. A Maccabee style,
What am I talking about? Who said the road's dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talking about? Who said the road's dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. Me love it dancehall and a dem me come from. The vibes them nice when I dance all jam. I man love the roots from me was a youth man. The roots it give me enough inspiration. Me love it two of them, me not just love one. I man is a roots and a dancehall man. Love as rock even give me good vibration. Me just love reggae that you must understand. Now all the DJs and the radio station, you have an obligation to the youth man. Can't play fear, slackness and thing bout gun. You have to play some truth for your flip with nation. I give the youth knowledge and education. The youth have to know which part they come from. They have to know who they are and where they belong. If you want to keep with nation strong, what am I say? What am I say? What am I talk about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talk about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. Bob Marley big everywhere. In enough place the roots gone clear. You have man like burning spear. Them on tour every year. The roots crowd, it is very sincere. Then we support you throughout your career. Some dancer people last for a year. The next year you find them disappear. In America, me say the roots still clear. In Africa, me say the roots still clear. In Europe, me say the roots still clear. And in Jamaica, the roots is there. Don't you know that the roots is big everywhere? Me say, make them talk, man, I don't care. Cause you know that the roots will always be here. Who said the roots dead? Boy, get out of here. What am I say? What am I say? What am I talking about? Who said the roots dead? Go ahead, shut your mouth. What am I saying? What am I saying? What am I talking about?
The restraint check log completed on August 17, 2018. Motion to dismiss outrageous misconduct. The restraint checking log completed on August 17, 2018 indicated that Lieutenant Camrad noted that Mr. King should remain in restraints until a pattern of self-control can be maintained. Exhibit F, the video evidence taken at the time demonstrates that Mr. King was cooperative, quiet, and complied with officers cutting off his clothes, performing medical examinations, and placing him in a four-point restraint inside the shoe. Any further restraint was unnecessary, retaliatory, and punitive. The BOP policy concerning four-point restraint procedure is very specific. Soft restraints must be used to restrain an inmate unless such restraints have been proven ineffective. A staff check of a prisoner at four-point restraints every 15 minutes, and a lieutenant is required to review the four-point restraints every 2 hours to determine if the restraints have had a required calming effect and the prisoner can be released. At every two-hour review, the lieutenant should give the prisoner an opportunity to use the toilet unless the prisoner is continuing to actively resist or becomes violent while being released from restraints. Even though he was displaying signs of self-control, Mr. King was placed into a hard four-point restraint at 2 p.m., and he remained in the hard four-point restraints until he was placed into soft restraints. At 4 p.m., the lieutenant restraint check noted the staff were ordered by captain not to speak with inmates and that Mr. King did not request the use of a toilet. At 4:30 p.m., notes say that Mr. King is to remain in hard four-point restraints until the rights have been read. At 6 p.m., entirely repeats the information written at 4 p.m., stating that Mr. King should remain in restraints until his rights were read. The 15-minute staff restraint check log provided by the government shows that Mr. King requested food at 5:45 p.m. and does not note any disruptive or aggressive behavior. 15-minute restraint checks. Mr. King was not given food until he was released from restraints at 7:25 p.m. Video shows that Mr. King was calm throughout his time in 4 points and was not offered an opportunity to use the toilet or at all during the time he was in 4-point restraints. The evidence further shows that when Mr. King was allowed to sit and was released from four-point restraints, he informed staff that he had urinated on himself and a short time later exclaimed in pain as his arms were finally lowered from the forced position. Mr. King remained in soft four-point restraints until he was transferred to USP Florence.
Europe come together in a 92. Good for them, but me don't know about me and you. Like the skinhead, them a come true, but they say, when I run, them the deal's done. Say, when the skinhead, them a come, tell them, say, fuck off. If them think we a go run, tell them, say, fuck off. When the racist, them a come, tell them, say, fuck off. Tell them the deal's done, tell them, say, fuck off. Cause them fool, ignorant, stupid, and daft. One like them bad, but we know, say, them soft. If I ten of them and one of we, them start to let up. If I wanna
against one, them run like a racer. So watch out, there are racists about me. I tell them, oh, watch out, there are racists about. Watch out, there are racists about me. Tell them, oh, watch out, there are racists about them. In the east, them in the west, them in the north, them in the south, them over the road, them down the lane, and them they round the road about. And out of the sewers, them just a crawl out, and they sucking the excrement from out and them out. When them break down the wall, them in a Germany, the ones from the east never like what them see. Them have some little fufu care and some little money, and come see some black man a drive up Mercedes. Some of them couldn't take it and they full of jealousy, cause them sight themselves as superior to we. So them start figure round in a them skinhead posse, brutalizing all the black people that them see. But we not go lay down and make them walk over we, cause too much people die so that we can be free. So take it from me, we not take it so easy. So if I come, them I come, them better know we ready. If they racist, them I come, tell them say, fuck off. If they think we are gonna run, tell them say, fuck off. Say when the skinhead, them I come, tell them say, fuck off. Tell them then the deals, don't tell them say, fuck off. Them always blame black people, see them own problem. If them can't get a job, we cause the problem. If them house get a robber, we cause the problem. If them can't get two man, a black man, I take them. In a France, you have a man, Miss Le Pen, yes. Him a the boss, feed them national front, them man. Them a give black people all heap a problem. Me say, Miss Le Pen, he should be sentenced to hang in a England. Me say, them have a more cool cause. All heap a black man, you have to have them tool. And if them attack we, them would be full. If them attack we and we kill them self-defense, we just cool. When they skinhead, them a come tell them say, fuck off. If them think we a go run, tell them say, fuck off. Say when the racist, them a come tell them say, fuck off. Tell them the DS, don't tell them say, fuck off. Cause them fool, ignorant, stupid and daft. One like them bad, but we know say them soft. If I ten of them and one of we, them start to let off. If I one against one, them run like a racer. I tell them, oh, watch out, there are racists about me. Tell them, oh, watch out, there are racists about. Watch out, there are racists about me. Tell them, oh, watch out, there are racists about them. In the east, them in the west, them in the north, them in the south. Them over the road, them down the lane, and them they round about. And out of the sewers, them just a crawl out. And them sucking the excrement from out of them out. When them break down the wall, them in a Germany, the ones from the east never like what them see. Them have some little fufu care and a little money, and come see some black man a drive up Mercedes. Some of them couldn't take it and they full of jealousy, cause them see themselves as superior to we. So them start to go round in and them skinhead pass. Europe come together in a 92. Good for them, but me no know about me. Like the skin and them are come show, but they say we not run. Them the deals. Back up. Back up. Back up.
FCI Florence officers violated their own policy and the Fourth Amendment guarantee to be free from excessive force when they punitively held Mr. King in a restraint chair and later both hard and soft four-point restraints without regard to his behavior necessitating such restraint, literally the closet analogy of the rack. The force and restraints officials used in response to the alleged assault of another officer was cruel and unusual punishment in violation of the Eighth Amendment and Bureau policy, and clearly applied maliciously and sadistically for the very purpose of causing harm, destruction and falsification of evidence, misconduct by law enforcement officials in collecting incriminating evidence may rise to the level of a due process violation when the misconduct is outrageous enough to shock conscience of the court. King motioned to dismiss outrageous misconduct. BOP officials chose not to capture and or later destroy video of Mr. King behaving calmly and non-combatively while being held on the ground, transported in a restraint chair, and transferred into the SHU. The destruction of the apparent exculpatory evidence in violation of due process, a review of discovery provided by the government shows other instances of destroyed, missing, or falsified evidence. Federal law and Bureau of Prison policy requires staff to appropriately document all incidents involving the use of force, chemical agents, and less than lethal force. Staff shall also document in writing the use of restraints on an inmate who becomes violent or displays signs of imminent violence. These requirements are further detailed by BOP policy statement regarding use of force and application of restraints, which says that calculated use of force shall be videotaped following the sequential guidelines presented in the Correctional Services Manual. Original videotape must be maintained and secured as evidence in the SIS office, BOP use of force program statement. At least 2 hours of video depicting Mr. King in hard four-point restraints is not accounted for. Documents show that Mr. King was in hard four-point restraints from 2 p.m. to 7:25 p.m. The government provided approximately 300 minutes of video in addition to the conscious shocking storage room encounter and restraint torture sequence. The government obstructed Mr. King's relationship with his attorney in a manner that interfered with his ability to exercise his right to counsel prior to and during interrogation. This obstruction of the attorney-client relationship is itself outrageous government misconduct meriting dismissal of the indictment. In cases examining claims of outrageousness pertaining to alleged government intrusion into the attorney-client relationship via use of the attorney as the informant, the Tenth Circuit has required a defendant's submission to demonstrate awareness of an issue of fact as to each following three elements. King's motion to dismiss outrageous misconduct. Of the ongoing attorney-client relationship, deliberately intrusion into the relationship, actually substantial prejudice, United States versus Thompson. Though Mr. King does not allege government intrusion upon the content of his communications with counsel, he does allege intentional governmental misconduct obstructed Mr. King to exercise his right to counsel before and during the August 20, 2018 interrogation, in part by obstructing counsel's ability to communicate with Mr. King while concealing the fact from Mr. King. In the case, the government was objectively aware of the ongoing attorney-client relationship between Mr. King and his attorney. On Sunday, August 19, 2018, King's attorney emailed Bureau of Prison officials requesting information regarding Mr. King's well-being and whereabouts. BOP Attorney Special Assistant United States Attorney Wynick on the morning of August 20, 2018 to tell King's attorney that Mr. King would need to complete authorization paperwork before Mr. Wynick would talk to Mr. King's attorney. King's attorney responded at 10:43 a.m. that she would like to have legal call for Mr. King as soon as possible. At 12:55 p.m., Mr. Wynick responded to the request for a legal call had been passed along to Mr. King's unit team. Mr. Wynick acts deliberately intruded with and obstructed Mr. King's ability to access counsel. Mr. King was further prejudiced by these acts because the government was able to obtain admission from him in spite of asking the assistant detectives Erb and Silva without the possibility of speaking to an attorney. This interference with Mr. King's ability to communicate with counsel is offensive to the notion of due process, and the court should dismiss the indictment due to this misconduct alone. Conclusion, the collective action of Lieutenant Wilcox and other BOP officials who assaulted Mr. King and participated in the investigation of this matter shock the conscience, violates the decencies of civilized conduct, are too close to the rack and screw to permit constitutional differentiation, and ultimately offended the sense of justice. Mr. King makes this request because the ongoing course of misconduct in this matter participated in serious prejudice to Mr. King's legal right to due process, legal rights to be free from excessive force and cruel and unusual punishment. To sanction the brutal conduct such as this displayed by officers at FCI Florence in this matter would be affordably brutal to cloak of law. To vindicate the community's sense of fair play and decency and avoid discredit law and thereby brutalizing the temper of a society, Mr. King requests that the court dismiss the indictment, dated September 13, 2021.
England will kill you with all kind of tax from every angle, every corner. Even the water you have to pay for. Why you think so much pop star left ya? What else for you da? Tax. England will kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England will kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. You make a little money, a little bit of cash. You sit down in your house and try to relax. Here comes another letter through the letterbox. Somebody somewhere wants some tax. Tax for this and tax for that. Tax for electric and tax for gas. Tax upon everything you buy from the shop. £400 fine if you can't do on tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England we kill you with tax. Government falling tax. Tax on your house and tax on your flat. Tax on your TV and your whatnot. Even the water we must pay for that. Little from now you go and get water tax. How then could I put it on electric and gas? Some people life depend on that. Them borrow too much so them have to make it back. That's why them always are increased tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. Some of them they tax where them have they no need. Like a vampire, them want see you bleed. Them a blood sucker in the Dracula League. Suck you up dry, then them proceed. Them no care about how much mouth you must feed. Them no care about people, they care about greed. What left for them tax, what else them need? Them soon tax to hear that we breed tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England we kill you with tax. Yeah, yeah, me. When we know you need tax, we run a country. Health and education are necessary. And the other services in the community. But somebody tell me what them a do with the money. Because every year the tax gone up. And the road them still look mash up. Every year the tax gone up. And more hospital are shut. Every year the tax gone up. Money for education get cut. Every year tax gone up. Every time the government gets stuck. Money no grow up on tree. Anyhow that happen, I would have 10 of them in my garden. Government no really care about how much money them spend. Cause them know next year tax gone up again. Tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England we kill you with tax. People them balling tax. You make a little money, a little bit of cash. You sit down in your house and try to relax. Here comes another letter through the letterbox. Somebody somewhere wants some tax. Tax for this and tax for that. Tax for electric and tax for gas. Tax upon everything you buy from the shop. £400 fine if you can't do on tax. England we kill you with tax. Everybody balling tax. England we kill you with tax. Government falling tax. Tax.
40 million exposed in a UK cyber attack. Android 14 stops stingrays and CPUs across brands are susceptible to hacks. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings. I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for August 15th, 2023. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Let's go ahead and jump right into the news this week. The UK Electoral Commission recently disclosed information on a massive data breach that exposed the personal information of folks who registered to vote between 2014 to 2022. The breach was actually detected way back in October of 2022, but the attackers had already been doing some recon on the commission systems since August of 2021. Now, this cyber attack opened the door to the commission's email servers, control systems, and even copies of electoral registers. And that's not all. This breach gave the threat actors access to names, addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, you name it. They even snagged personal images. That's kind of creepy. Anyone who registered to vote anonymously, your secrets are safe. And if you are wondering, did this mess with the election? No, it did not. The electoral process and voter registration dodged the bullet, thankfully. But here's where it gets interesting. The commission downplayed the issue, saying that much of that data is already publicly available. Certainly some of it is public, like names and addresses. But those email addresses and phone numbers, that's prime bait for phishing attacks and identity theft, as that data was not in the public domain. So if you are a UK voter, brace yourself because phishing is coming. Call up the organization and check if it's legit if you do get some kind of suspect emails. 40 million people were impacted, and that's a whole lot of personal information floating around. Now, why did it take the commission 10 whole months to disclose this breach? Well, they claimed that they had to investigate the intrusion, see just how bad the breach was, and then lock down their digital systems. This compromised data could be used with other public info to create accurate profiles of folks. They are saying that it won't mess with the elections or your voter status, but don't let your guard down just yet. The commission's urging anybody who registered to vote between 2014 to 2022 to stay sharp. Watch out for your data being used or abused. In the meantime, they have increased their defenses to block future cyber attacks. Google is working on making the next iteration of Android, Android 14, more secure when connecting to cellular networks. Coming soon, this new feature for Android 14 compatible smartphones will allow you to disable 2G network support and disable support for null cipher or unencrypted connections at the modem level. Now, this is a part of the Android security model, which works to prevent things like packet injection, tampering, and eavesdropping by only allowing end-to-end encrypted connections. As we have known for some time, 2G towers have got some weak encryption and lackluster authentication, making them prime targets for attackers. A great example of this is Stingrays, those cell site simulators that trick your phone into connecting to a fake tower. Stingrays can intercept your calls, your texts, even your data usage by using a downgrade attack to force the 2G connection. The new Android 14 feature will block that from happening by preventing downgrades. Now, the ability to disable 2G at the modem level was originally introduced in early 2022 with Android 12 as an option, and it can be found under your settings, network and internet, SIMs allow 2G. The new setting will include an option to select your SIM, but now device fleets like those in enterprises or government agencies will be able to restrict the entire set of devices.
On the 20th of February, 1987, Clinton McIrvin was murdered. His killers are still at large. I'm fed up with the fact that when police kill a black, they never seem to get charged. We've had enough of it. In a Wolverhampton, there was a killing. Police murder Clinton McIrvin. In a shop called Next was where the murder begin. Then say a stolen credit card he was using. Before me carry on, do some thinking. If you had the credit card which was stolen, and then tell you say wait, make me do some checking. You're not stand up in the shop like a damn ding-a-ling. So why him never move and do some running? Well, maybe it was his off, he might drain. You know the police
police will say anything, cause to them you is a thief if you have black skin. But anyway, so dirty Babylonian rushing, jump on the youth and I sit down on him. Draw back in bed and bust a youth neck string, and a kin feed them teeth like them kill a chicken. He was only young, Lord, what a sin. He should be walking round, but he's in a coffin. Then don't treat we as human beings, so we better get together and do something. We've had enough, we've had enough a hit. No, we've had enough a hit, we've had enough a hit. Not taking no more, we've had enough, Lord, we've had enough a hit. We've had enough a hit, we've had enough a hit. All over England, it is happening. At the hands of police, black get a beating. Cherry goes paralyzed, your police shooting. Then beat Trevor Manville and brain damage him. Cynthia Jarrett was another victim. Them push a down killer when them was reading. Them say Colin Roach shoot himself just for nothing. Keep Leonard, the list is never ending. Then get 3 man life to the break like killing. Convict the man before the trial did begin. Use them as scapegoat, throw them in the bin. But when police kill a black man, they not do a thing. Me yet they dirty base, them I get under my skin. Every time me say one, me feel fi cuffin' him. But me know say we have to do some organizing, cause this a war in a Babylon and we are going. We've had enough, we've had enough a hit. No, we've had enough a hit, we've had enough a hit. Not taking no more, we've had enough, lad, we've had enough a hit. We've had enough a hit, we've had enough a hit. Well, the next could be you, or it could be me. Could be your brother, could be your auntie. Could be your friend, could be your pickaninny. So what we need now is solidarity. Some black man no care, cause their life cozy. But when police bust them head, who then run to? No, we support one another, give one unity. Physically, spiritually, and financially. Unity is strength, organizing is the key. That's why Babylon tries to separate we. But we are African children and we are mighty. We have to control our own destiny. So when it comes to business, all away. When it comes to support, then all away. If it comes to war, then all away. Then they might think twice before then kill we pick me. Then take the chain off our foot, but we still don't free. No far away under mental slavery. That's why you don't know yourself and your identity. You don't know your friend from your enemy. With people them are dying in Africa daily. Babylon now came, so it's all down to we. Freedom and justice our priority. Just listen to the words of Messiah Gabi. Fight me to a weak nation, and I will show you a people abused, taken advantage of by others. Show me a weak race, and I will show you a people and a nation reduced to fear, serfdom and slavery. Show me a well-organized nation, and I will show you a people and a nation respected by the world. Organizing is the key.
Disabling null cipher connections stops snooping on circuit-switched voice calls and SMS messages. The update will allow users to disable support for null cipher connections at the modem level as well if a device supports the newer radio hardware abstraction layer, which is also called HAL or HAL. In both of these cases, emergency calls will still be able to downgrade to 2G or null cipher, so you will be able to contact emergency response if you are out of range of newer towers. Biggest of shout-outs to my Patreon supporters, especially my Golden S'mores and their fur babies for making the show possible, since we don't have ads on the show at all except for Patreon. Become a part of the S'mores over at patreon.com/ShannonMorse. That page will give you early access to these videos, a private Discord group, a monthly live streamed Q&A session, and a lot more. Now, if you are currently a patron over on the ThreatWire Patreon page, switch on over to the new one so you don't lose access to your perks. Let's go ahead and finish out today's episode with my last top story, all about CPU vulnerabilities. Now, these sound kind of like movie titles, but they are vulnerabilities. There's Collide Power, Downfall, and Inception. Each of these attacks stems from a vulnerability in CPUs. Modern processors are leaking data through side-channel attacks. Now, Downfall is the first one. This targets a weakness in billions of Intel processors. It's tracked as CVE-2022-40982, and this can allow a malicious app to snoop on and steal your passwords, encryption keys, and more. Even Intel's software guard extensions, or their SGX, cannot keep this one out. But how does it happen? Well, it's all about memory optimization in your processor. So think of it like an unlocked door that lets one program sneak into another space. Two malicious processes built by the researcher gather data sampling and gather value injection can be used to bypass isolation barriers and steal data from other programs. Gather itself is a process that's built into the CPU for memory optimization, but the researcher found a vulnerability in this process, allowing for them to perform an attack. The research was disclosed to Intel, and they are releasing a microcode update to patch this leaky problem. If you are using Alder Lake, Raptor Lake, or Sapphire Rapids, you are in the clear. Other families of CPUs are vulnerable, specifically Skylake, Tiger Lake, and Ice Lake. AMD CPUs are susceptible to kernel memory leaks due to Inception. This is a transient execution attack tracked as CVE-2023-20569. Inception tricks the CPU into taking incorrect actions by leaking arbitrary kernel memory at a rate of 39 bytes per second. This affects all AMD Zen CPUs, including the newest Zen 4 models, and AMD has provided microcode patches and additional mitigations. Now lastly, meet Collide Plus Power, or Collide Power. This attack is a software-based method that can leak arbitrary code, and it can work on any device powered by any processor, thanks to the way that shared CPU components combine data from several applications, which results in a leaked signal in power consumption. So the attacker can force a collision between their own malware and the legit data on a target machine in the CPU's cached memory. This is a concept, but likely will not be used in the wild because the data retrieval is very slow. I'm Shannon Morse. Stay vigilant, stay secure. I have a cough. I hope it didn't sound too terrible. I'll see you on the internet. Bye.
Here's a song from my homeland. This is my fight song.
When you get to legalize it, it'll help to change your brain. Let them people smoke that crack cocaine. Shagging a wham wham wham, I say up there in the White House. You got to let them people free. I wanna smoke that crack cocaine. Sell it by the key, they want for sale. You got to legalize it. It'll help to change your brain.
I got a quick question. Did you know that Moses spent 40 years wandering the desert so that you could inherit the Holy Land? Can you even take 4 minutes today to pray to our one true God, Hashem, Adonai, our King? That's right. It is not until you accept Judaism as the one true faith that you will truly find peace. You know, it says in Numbers 3:17, Moses was instructed to kill the Midianites. And that will happen to you too. You will be killed if you don't pray and you don't accept the true enlightened path.
Satan, he'll molest you. He'll sodomize you every single night. If you ever disobey the Bible, he'll tie you down and really make you pay. You will go to hell if you're a drunkard. If you smoke that marijuana leaf. If you fornicate with Jewish women. Or if you hold communist beliefs. If you ask unnecessary questions, let me tell you now that you've been warned. The Satan, he will burn your genitalia, and then he'll penetrate you with his horn. Get to picking now.
We're known for being super polite, unless you get on our bad side.
In the city, it's super liberal, but once you leave downtown, it starts to get really redneck.
You've never had a hometown hero? It's our famous sandwich. Meat, cheese on a bun, with sauce. I mean, there are some rich people, but at the end of the day, it's a working class town.
Once you go over the bridge, there are actually some really good restaurants. The weather is the worst. One second it's raining, the next it's not. There are actually certain parts where you can get a whole house for $300 a month.
What? Where I'm from, we say milk, not milk. How do you say it? Sorry I'm late. I kissed a girl on the way over and now she's pregnant. And I lost this hand to a Venus flytrap. Swallowed it whole and also it really hurt me. Oh, we would never live in a house with a basement. There are skeletons down there.
I think he's a good player. And I'm basing my assessment on a hunch and vibes. We can't sign this kid. He uses bad language and chews with his mouth open. He can't play ball. Pros and cons. Cons, he's not good at baseball. Pros, he's nice. You know why we should sign him? Because I knew his father. His father was a good guy. Oh, this kid was made to be a major league player. He's very handsome. So what? He can throw a 100 mile per hour fastball. He has a beard. I've consulted with my priest and decided we should sign him. Are you kidding me? He's Japanese. He can't play America's pastime. Hey, fellas, let's make it snappy. I got 4 more bodies in the parking lot. I gotta get them in the ground by noon. Hey, kid, take your hands out of your pockets. You're a pallbearer. You want your father to come rolling out of the box? Look, I know no one's happy today, but if we don't get a move on, we're gonna be here till midnight. Everybody, eyes up. I'm gonna need 4 strong guys to help lower the body. Big fella, I'm looking at you. Oh, I've been here 30 years. I got horror stories. Oh, no, you're looking for plot 8. This is plot 9. Anyways, all right, it's that time. We're going to say our peace to the deceased. So everyone make 2 orderly lines, please. Look, ma'am, I know you're upset, but you got to keep the crying down, all right? I can't even hear myself think right now. Didn't your father die last year? Yeah, good to see you. How you been?
I made your favorite, Bubby's famous Stippin' Bipkis. It's a pickled fish and cream sauce.
You've never had gefilte? It's a gelatinous fish loaf served with a slice of warm carrot.
It's me, Nathan.
We're not a Jewish cabal. We're just 12-foot reptilian humanoids who happen to be circumcised. Hey, little boy, I'm gonna suck your blood. Me, John Legend, and George W. Bush are gonna suck your blood. Hopefully people don't realize that all our plans are clearly spelled out in code on the $20 bill.
Another blood orgy? Guys, we did one last week. Come on.
Bad news, guys. I know we've been a secret organization for 2,000 years,
but a personal trainer named Troy just shared a meme on Facebook that revealed our inner workings.
Yup, they've all fallen for it. They think the Earth is round, and somehow that helps us rule the world.
I'm bored. You guys want to start a tsunami?
The biggest adversity I've had to overcome was breaking my ankle the first game of the senior year basketball season. My hero is my grandfather, who was an immigrant from Russia at a time when it wasn't so easy. When my grandpa died, I was disconsolate, crestfallen, and forlorn.
Oh, hello. Welcome to System Fail, the show where health issues are no laughing matter.
This week has been good bipartisan cooperation and a string of...
Come on. Yeah. Walking funny, stagger unsteady, a twisted face will show that you're ready to do that dance that we call a stroke. Ice thick headed, it ain't no joke. Now if he don't sound right, then he do the show. Sway when he walks, then he do the show. Slur when he talks, then he do the show. Call 911 cause it ain't no joke.
I am your host, D. Doss, and in case our viewers hadn't noticed, things are not looking great for the human race.
Rapidly rising prices.
Inflation is at a 50-year high.
People stealing flour in broad daylight.
AI could manipulate or possibly kill humans.
We are seeing mental health concerns at a rate that is extreme and very concerning.
The air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable.
Be warned, it is going to get hotter.
In short, the worst is yet to come.
A cascade of slow-moving and interlocking catastrophes has spawned a widespread, common-sense pessimism that now pervades all aspects of human life. A visceral foreboding that things are simply not going to get better.
You ever feel like nothing good was ever going to happen to you?
Yeah, and nothing did. So what?
The worst heat wave in recorded human history continues to swelter across large parts of so-called North America, Europe, and Asia. From Arizona to Xinjiang, temperature records are being shattered daily.
Shouldn't be an issue here in America. Decide whether you should walk to the store or stay in the shade because you're going to die.
On July 16th, southern Iran recorded a heat index score of 66.7 degrees Celsius or 152 degrees Fahrenheit, foreshadowing an imminent future in which parts of the world become too hot to sustain human life. Climatologists and marine biologists warn that high-pressure heat domes over the Earth's oceans are likely causing mass die-offs of fish and wiping out coral reefs, particularly in the Caribbean and the Florida Keys. To top it off, large parts of the globe are on fire. In Europe, wildfires are blazing across Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Croatia, Turkey, the UK, and France. Meanwhile, in so-called Canada, flames have so far consumed 25 million acres of forests this year, an area roughly the size of Iceland. Punishing inflation continues to squeeze living standards around the world, further increasing the price of groceries, or the threat of famine, depending on one's geographical reality. Sky-high rents and housing costs continue to swell the size of homeless encampments, whose residents face harassment from local homeowners and the brutality of regular police raids, while liberals and so-called progressive politicians wring their hands and do nothing. Ignored by policymakers and the outrage factories of the mainstream media, the opioid epidemic is worse than ever, claiming more than 80,000 deaths last year in the so-called United States alone. Refugees continue to die by the hundreds in the depths of the Mediterranean, in deserts, at the hands of sadistic human traffickers and racist vigilantes, or in isolated refugee camps with little protection from the elements. Desperate to distract themselves from the horrors of reality, millions of people have retreated into the conspiracy-addled mania of an omnipresent culture war, or the latest viral marketing campaign, masquerading as ironic social commentary.
We designed them, I think, to celebrate, like, what is a cultural phenomenon right now.
You know what? But why, though?
For many, this macabre spectacle of human suffering is a source of understandable demoralization and despair. But for others, particularly for many young people, it's an impetus to burn this society to the ground. If for no other reason than to see what grows from its ashes.
We know what the anarchists have always said.
The urge to destroy is a creative urge.
And true to form, no one has articulated this restless, nihilistic rage better than the alienated youth of France. France has seen multiple waves of riots, strikes, and large-scale demonstrations since January, when the country's widely despised president, Emmanuel Macron, announced plans to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. But things escalated sharply on June 27, when French police killed 17-year-old Niall Merzouk during a traffic stop in the West Parisian suburb of Nanterre. Video of Niall's murder soon began to circulate on social media, sparking the most intense riots the country has seen since 2005. The unrest started in the banlieues of Paris, but quickly spread to other cities across the country. On the evening of June 28, as Macron was filmed awkwardly tapping his toes at an Elton John concert, the country erupted into a full-blown insurrection.
Escalating violence and rioting in cities and towns across France.
Paris, supposed to be the city of love, is exploding again into hateful confrontation.
That night, dozens of police stations were attacked, and 17 were burned down. A number of town halls were sacked and set alight. Schools were also attacked by gangs of young insurgents in an act of undisguised hatred for the French state and its imposition into their everyday lives. Over the following nights, the riots grew even larger. Looting spread across most major cities, as the streets played host to carnivalesque scenes of playful violence and property destruction. By this time, some of the insurgents were armed, firing guns into the air, and shooting out CCTV cameras with hunting rifles. There were also reports of a live hand grenade being thrown towards a crowd of police. On the evening of July 1st, rioters in the southern Parisian suburb of L'Île-aux-Roses rammed a car through the gates of the local mayor's home, before setting the car on fire. By the time rioting had died down, more than 12,000 vehicles and 2,500 buildings had been put to the torch, including 273 police stations and gendarmeries, 80 banks, 105 town halls, and 168 schools. 10 tram stations were destroyed, along with 6 bus depots and 39 buses. More than 700 police were injured, and 3,625 people were arrested. According to the Ministry of the Interior, the average age of those detained during the riots was 17 or 18 years old. Macron has sought to blame the riots on bad parenting and TikTok.
What's the best kind of firework to buy?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
Where are your parents? Get sketchy.
New EU regulations are set to take effect on August 25th, which call for the eradication of, quote, violent hate speech from major social media platforms. These strict new guidelines are widely seen as a tool for clamping down on militant anti-state social movements, something that has been tacitly acknowledged by French politicians. In the lead-up to a national day of action, dubbed the Third Taking of Lima, thousands of rural Peruvians converged on the nation's capital, passing through multiple police checkpoints on their way from the country's Andean provinces. On July 19, the day of action, highway blockades went up across the country, and protests were held in dozens of cities. In Lima, thousands of demonstrators squared off against riot police outside of the National Congress. Since then, demonstrations have continued, with protesters vowing to keep up the pressure until their demands are met.
Nuestra plataforma de lucha es renuncia de Dina Boluarte, cierre del Congreso de la República, que se convoque a una asamblea constituyente, justicia para los 70, 80 asesinados, y también libertad de los presos políticos.
We have now reached the end of System Fail. You can support Submedia by buying some gear, making a one-time donation, or signing up to be a monthly sustainer on our website, sub.media. A big thanks to our newest sustainers, Christopher, Gavin, and Serena. Be sure and follow us on colectiva.social or colectiva.media for new videos. You can also find us on whatever corporate data mining platforms haven't banned us yet. Just search for Submedia. Better yet, sign up to our mailing list to get each new video delivered directly to your inbox. And, on a final note, I have grown tired of reporting on the trials and tribulations of humanity, and so I have decided that this will be the last system fail episode for the foreseeable future. Stay tuned, as my Submedia handlers will no doubt refocus their energies on new projects. Godspeed, humans.
Well, some people put their trust in Ronald Reagan, and some people put their trust in Margaret Thatcher. Some people put their trust in President Bolta. I put mine in Jah Oviah. This a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija, Oviah. This a fija, this a one ya a fija, yes. This a fija, this a one ya a fija. Well, this one is for Jaja, for he's my light and savior. The king of kings, the lord of lords, the lion of the Judah. It's only Jah I really trust, cause him not make me suffer. He's my father, healer, power, saver, guider, and protector. Some of them I put them trust in Reagan, some of them I put them trust in Thatcher. Some put them trust in Bolta. I put my trust in Jah Oviah. When the boy called Ronald Reagan, he's just a cowboy actor. He used to starring westerns, now he's ruling America. He used to fight Red India, now he's fighting against Russia. Instead of firing 45, he's got some nuclear power. Him say him no deal with terrorists, he's been caught out as a liar. Cause he's been selling weapons to Iran and the Ayatollah. Sending money to South America, to the rebels in Nicaragua. Terrorism seems okay if you're doing it for America. Well, some resign and some get sack. Reagan said it was a blunder, but the biggest blunder Reagan make was that it get discovered. When him can't think of an answer, him say him can't remember. As far as I'm concerned, fitting image of him proper. Yeah, this a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija. Make we let go Ronald Reagan and move to Margaret Thatcher. She not stop till the rich get filthy rich and the poor get poorer. She strict on immigration, she don't want a black man on ya. If you're white, come to England. If you're black, you need a visa. You know you them in the house, come and when them all together. Sound like it's a madhouse, like someone's committing murder. All you hear is people shouting, order, order, order. Me not put my trust in people with such bad behavior. No, this a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija, This a fija, this a one ya a fija, yes. This a fija, this a one ya a fija. What a name, Jaja smiling, my man Jaja frown. And he'll be sent for by Jaja to a place unknown. He'll be up in front of Jaja who will be sitting on his throne. And Jaja will say to him, Mr. Bolta, sit down. Why did you do this wickedness all around? You had your chance to go to Zion, but your chances are blown. In the bottomless pit, you will now be thrown. Let the snakes and rats yam you up and spit out your bones. If you pass the snakes and rats in fire water, you'll drown. You'll be down in the L and you will never be found. Don't worry, Mr. Bolta, you won't be alone. Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, they will be around. So Mr. Bolta, the gifts are very well shown. Just a guan boy guan, this is your new home. Go forth unto L and don't turn around. All you could have hear was Bolta just a sing and a moan. I'm sorry, so sorry. I only wanted...